Good morning, brethren. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Isaiah 59th chapter. I'll be reading verses 8 through 13. Isaiah 59, 8 through 13, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, seeking oppression and revolt, confusing in and uttering from the heart lying words.
Thank you, thank you for that reading, the prophet Isaiah, describing the condition of those that are on the wrong road, that are on the wrong path. Thank you, Roy, for the prayer. Dave, for taking that part in our psalm service. Always good to hear Dave sing. Thank you for being here. It's already been uttered. Thank you for worshiping God with us and being here this day. It's the thing to go through the Christ has been said. We do have visitors. Thank you so much for being here. We want you to be welcome here, not just say it, but we want you to feel welcome here. We want you to come back. We love the truth. We love God. We love serving God. We love being Christians and serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading this morning Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few," Jesus says, "who find it." How did you come from Parkersburg to Sandyville? How did you do that? You know, I've done that a million times, and you just come down 77, it's real easy. Come down 77, you dodge all them barrels. I think they're gone now. I used to play this all the way down through there. Get off the extra vagina, make a left, go 3 miles, turn right. Up there at Big T, the red barn there, the house. Harvey Gray lives there. Known him all my life. Make that right about 3 or 4 miles, you're on the left, there you are. And while you're here, you can go see the mall, the dog store, and everything. You're right downtown, spend some time. Or, a lot of people would say, you know what, that's not the way to come to Sandyville, Parkersburg. What you need to do is go to the Ravenswood exit. Forget that Medina exit. Go to the Ravenswood exit, get off there, go back under the interstate, get on 58, make a left there at Independence, come up over the hill, take you right downtown, right to the post office. Right to the post office parking lot. Somebody else will tell you, no, that's not the way you come to Sandyville from Parkersburg. You know how you come to Sandyville from Parkersburg? Old 21. All the way. Old 21 is for people that like to sightsee and see how pretty this place. And you come through downtown Rockport, up over the hill there at Limestone, see Wendy turning off, Lockhart Fork, a lot of pretty scenery. You come to Sandyville from Parkersburg, Old 21 is where you go. There are many different ways to get to Sandyville, but you know what? The Lord doesn't say there's a bunch of ways to get to heaven. And just those two verses, Jesus does not say that there are many ways to get to heaven. In fact, when you read those verses, the Lord says just the opposite is true. What he's saying in those verses, he says that the road is narrow. The road's narrow that leads folks to eternal life. And in fact,
there are a lot of different folks on that broad way, is really what he's referring there, and they're not going to get there. Notice verse 13. That way is easy, but Jesus says that leads to destruction. The wide road leads to an eternity without God. And I think this is just one of the many passages that the Lord uses where Jesus confronts the thinking that, hey, there are many roads that lead to heaven. More and more, I think, today. We're hearing that, aren't we? In the world that we live in today. In fact, that's what a lot of people say. That's true. There are lots of ways to God. There's lots of ways to please God. No religion has a monopoly on truth. And really, of course, all religions, they're basically teaching the same thing. And really, we're all going to do what? Because we're all teaching the same thing, basically, we're just all going to end up in the same place, aren't we? And you know, there's a lot of people that are adamant about that. One thing, I'll quote this rabbi. He said, I am absolutely against any religion that teaches one faith is superior to another. That's just spiritual racism. It is a way of saying we are closer to God than you. And that just leads to hatred. We can't have that, can we? In fact, a recent survey said that 70% of Americans said they believe that the majority, if not all, religions can get you to heaven. And so, when folks start talking about one way, and there's just one way, the Jesus way, I can tell you there's a lot of people that's going to bristle up at that idea. How can you say that? Didn't Jesus say, we ought to love everybody? When are you Christians going to stop hating and start loving everybody? I like what this one fellow said. He said, I can't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, because if that is true, then the majority of people in the world are going to hell. I can't believe in a God who would be that intolerant. This morning, I want us to think about that. I want us to think about the common thinking that all roads lead to heaven, that all religions lead to heaven. I want us to think about that and really the idea that it doesn't matter what you believe, that you can believe what you want to believe, that you have that right, that God gave you that right just as long as you believe in something. Just make sure that you believe in something, and it's going to be fine, because basically, you know what? We're all going to end up the same way. Now, we hear that a lot. We hear that all the time. And really, is that true? Is what I'm saying, is that true? Is that statement true? Do you believe that? Is that really true? Now, if you don't believe that, how do you explain that that's not true to a friend of yours? How do you explain that that's not true to a relative or to a neighbor who does believe that and you don't believe that? This morning I want to talk about that. Do all roads lead to heaven? Do we, basically, we're all doing the same thing, basically, and because of that, there's not much difference in what we're doing, how we get to heaven, we're all going to arrive there. You know, I think about that. I think a good place for us to start to begin that conversation would be to talk a little bit about why that's so popular. You know, growing up, I never heard that much. Did you? Oh, it's all right. Everything's all right. Just whatever you want to do. You just believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. But why does everybody believe that? Why is it now that that permeates in our society that's really a common, it's an accepted statement? You know, I think first and foremost, when you get the big picture, you know, there are lots of different religions in this world. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not talking about just your world. We all have our own little world we live in. I'm talking about the big picture. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of religions in the world as a whole. And now, I think more than ever that a lot of us are confronting things in our lifetime that our fathers and grandfathers didn't. We're discussing a lot of religions that a lot of folks that I knew never even knew existed. You know how many Muslims I went to school with at Lubeck Elementary? Huh? You know how many the same number of Hindus and Buddhists I went to school with? Nada. Zero. There wasn't any. That's through immigration. Our world's a lot different now. Everything's a lot different. There's a lot of things. There are many, many cultures now that are part of us, part of the United States of America. And what that means is there's going to be a lot of different religions out there. And what they brought and what they believe, what they practice, how they dress, how they act. And there are lots now of different ways, because of that influx, to think about a lot of different things when it comes to spiritual matters. Maybe some things we've never had to think for. But you know, you look around and you don't have to drive far. There's Buddhist temples, there's mosques now, and there's places going up all over the communities that we drive through, houses of worship that really we never seen before. And we aren't that familiar with. Now, when you don't know anybody in those religions, and you really, you know what, not familiar with it, it's easy to say what? Well, we put them way off in some exotic, faraway place that we don't have out of sight, out of mind, not cool with it. But when someone from one of those religions is a co-worker, you're going to have to start thinking about some things. Or you got a kid on a baseball team and one of their kids is playing baseball with your kid. Or in your homeroom, or your kid's homeroom, or, you know, it's a little bit harder. And then what we do, we start seeing, hey, there's a lot of different religions out there. There's a lot of different things going out there. And so, there's a choice, isn't there? And I tell you what, America's love, we love our choices, don't we? We like to have choices, and really it seems a lot harder after we got all those choices floating around out there, and after we hear off one choice, it's a lot harder to accept one road to heaven, isn't it? When we got all these other religions, and you know what else happens? You know, when we get to know those people that are in different religions, you know what happens to us? Hey, they're good people. They're really, really good people. Good neighbors, good citizens, all of that, you know, they're decent folks. And so in the world today, in the world that we interact with all kinds of religious beliefs, And we do that all the time. How can we possibly say that there's just one road? How can we possibly say there's just one thing that is right? Everything else is wrong? How can we say that? I think that seems pretty arrogant, don't you? I think that seems pretty intolerant. Downright unfriendly. To even consider that. And then, of course, you have something that goes along with that. And that is, of course, all religion is just the same. All churches is basically the same, don't you know? It's a lot like ice cream. Flavors of ice cream. Hey, I love chocolate ice cream, and everybody knows in this room that that's the only flavor of ice cream. All the other flavors of ice cream, that's just pretend. That's just pretend flavor. That's not even ice cream. But isn't that how people feel about religion? Yeah. Christians, Baptists, Mormons, Methodists, Catholics, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, whatever. You do you. You go ahead and do you. Leave everybody else alone, because in the end, what is it? Well, it's just a flavor of ice cream. It's just a little bit different flavor, buzzer tongue, vanilla chocolate, whatever. You just eat your ice cream, and you just leave everybody else alone with what they've chosen to eat and digest. You know, I can see why people might think that. That most religions really are just alike. Common ground. Most religions teach the same thing. You ever think about that? Because basically, what is religion? What is, well, you got a deity. Alright. You got a deity and you've got some followers, and that deity, what he does, is he lays down some ethical guidelines, some moral guidelines. You fulfill those guidelines, and then what happens when you die? You go live with that deity forever. That's pretty basic. That's not all religions, is it? No. No, that's not how it is. Mormonism teaches that there are lots of gods, lots of deities. And in fact, when you die, you become a god. And after that, you get your own planet to live on. And you know what? Jesus is not God, he is a god. You hear that? Jesus is a god. And Jesus has a brother. The devil is his brother. Buddhism They don't believe in any deity at all. None. There are some religions that teach that God, deity, sent his son to die so that he might have a relationship with you. Now, the Muslims teach that there is a God, but they teach that that God doesn't have a son. In fact, that would be blasphemy if I would say that their God had a son. So when you think about it, when you look at it that way, what about the moral and ethical guidelines that, hey, all religions have got that, don't we? You know what a New Testament Christian believes? A New Testament Christian believes what? There's absolute truth. There is absolute truth. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to. Because there's absolute truth. What that means? Well, that means that something that is right and has always been right will always be right. Something that is wrong, has always been wrong, will always be wrong. I don't care who's getting married at the courthouse. I don't care what changes in society. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. And so, but there are other religions that say, no, that's not true. Just because something used to be right, we can change that. We can teach and preach something different. Oh, I know that used to be wrong, but it's not wrong now. There are a lot of religions that teach that. Religions today, you mark it down, there are massive differences, even basic fundamental differences. And we're not talking about flavors of ice cream. Is there a God? If there's a God, what kind of God is it? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? If there is a heaven, how do you get there? Do you need to do anything to get there? If there is a hell, how do I avoid not getting there? These are vital questions. And those are just questions, Bill. Just the hem of the garment, really. And, but you know, when you look at religion seriously and just address that question or that answer that we're all the same, listen, it doesn't take long. They're not the same. They're not even close to the same. And I wonder sometimes if we just don't say that. All of it. Everything that we hear out there, you know, if you want to believe that, let's just pretend that they really are all the same. How about that? Because if we do that and say everybody's the same and we're all going to the same place, we can just pretend that's true, even though we know it's not true, to walk. Well, I'm going to avoid confrontation. We don't like conflict. But what we really want to say is, when we say all that is, you know what? Okay. So there are some differences. But I'm going to tell you something. You just need to be sincere. Don't you know that's the truth? No matter what you believe, sincerity is where it's at. You need to be sincere in what you believe. Have we heard that? Well, people are basically good. They're good folks. Just need to be sincere. One writer said this. Something deep inside of us knows that the nature of true spirituality is connected somehow with authenticity. So yeah, we believe there's some different stuff, but listen, whatever you believe, you really got to believe. You really got to be sincere. That's the ticket. Is that really the case? I want you to think about that statement. As long as you're sincere, you're going to be all right. Does that hold water with everything? Is that really true? Is that something that really works? What about if somebody sincerely believes that Jews aren't human and they need to be exterminated? What about that? How about sincere Gnostics? Are they on their road to heaven because they believe something and they sincerely believe that to be true? This is a good place for some Bible. Let's go to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, Paul, the apostle, persecuted the church. He sincerely did what? He believed that Christians were wrong. He sincerely believed that. Notice what he says. Verse 1, chapter 23. Paul, looking intently at the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God right up to this day." Paul was so sincere in his Judaism. Paul was so sincere in his conviction. Paul had a clear conscience when he was killing Christians. so sincere. Do you know what Paul did with sincerity when he seen the truth? He didn't say, oh, I think that might be true. Maybe I ought to go that way. But you know what? I sincerely believe. Well, no, he gave that up. He gave up that sincerity. That wasn't Paul. And so there isn't any question. I want you to know this. That sincerity matters. Sincerity vitally matters in your walk with the Lord, in your walk with Christ. It's tremendously important. But I want you to know that if you believe that here I've got a bottle of cyanide, and I've got a headache, and I go like that and take two of them, no matter how sincere I am, and believe that that's two aspirin, it's not going to do me any good, is it? Sincerity's not going to work for my headache. It's going to kill me.
So I think, when I think about that, I think what we're saying is, you know what? God's going to take care of it. I think a lot of people think that. Yeah, we're different religiously. Yeah, okay, we'll miss some of that. We're all going to think, but listen, if you really, really are sincere in what you believe, if you really believe it and you're wrong, God's going to take care of it. God will fix it. God will take care of that. You don't have any, you know what? And when you think about sincerity in that way, sincerity only works in religion, I guess. Because it, in that mindset, in that way of thinking, it doesn't work with anything else. Take a kid in grade school. 2 plus 2, I sincerely believe that's 5. It's 5. I'm sincere. Go to work. Get a manual on how to do your job. How to operate this machine. Here it is. Here's how you're going to do it safely. You need to read this. You need to follow instructions. You don't even look at it. You put it in a drawer. You hit that machine. I'm just so sincere about working this. But how long are you going to last? How long are you going to last on the job if you sincerely don't know how to do the job? They going to teach you? Oh. But when it comes to God, His Word, what He's instructed us, hey, it's okay. Whatever you want to go with, hey, God will take care of it. Just be sincere. God's going to work it out. Is that right? Is that really right? Have you ever asked that? I guess the question is that true? Will that be true on the end? Will God work it out like that? And I guess, oh, can we find truth? Can we even know truth? People will throw it, all roads lead to heaven. How do you know that? How do you know that? Who said that? Who said believe what you want to believe? I believe what I want to believe, and we'll all get to heaven together. Who said that? Think about that. John chapter 14. Let's look at what the Bible says about that. John chapter 14. Notice what the Lord says about Himself. We're just going to use the Bible now to better understand the truth. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. Now notice that. We're talking about ways, roads, and paths. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The way, the only way, and the truth. He's just not a truth. The Lord said He's the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven. No one sees God except through me. Jesus made that claim for Himself. The words of Jesus Christ. Look over in the book of Acts. When His disciples were being tried for preaching Jesus as the way, notice what it said here in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Luke records, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus the Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is no salvation, or there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which, He says, we must be saved. Think about that. Look more than that. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now that's just the same. There are tons and tons of passages in the New Testament that say salvation is found where? In Jesus Christ. Salvation is found only in Christ, and there is no other. I need to say here very quickly that this isn't a lesson about Bible authority. This isn't a lesson about the inspiration of the Bible. We've had lessons on that. We've had talks on that. I'll deal with that in a future course again. But I want you to be clear, and I want you to be certain. When you accept this book as the Word of God, as God's Word, be clear and mark it down. These words, they say that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. You be clear on that. One way, the narrow way, Jesus' way, being in Christ. In Christ leads to salvation, and there is no other way. That's a provocative question. What if that wasn't true? What if that wasn't true? What if everything we just said wasn't true? What if there are many ways to heaven? I want you to think about that angle of it. There's just many roads to heaven, and I don't think a lot of people thought that out. Because I want you to think that, and then I want you to think what the consequence of that kind of thinking would be. I want you to think that if all roads lead to heaven, I want you to think on this thing. If that's true, this book, the Bible, is functionally useless. It'd be useless. If all roads lead to heaven, what do I need this for? Now, there is no doubt, there can be no doubt that where the Bible stands on the issue of salvation. You're either in Christ and saved, or you're out of Christ and lost. There are no ifs, ands, and buts. And I read some of those passages, many, many more. And when you read that, that's just not some wise advice. That is the truth, and maybe, well, I'll take that as a good suggestion that only the saved are in Christ. No, that's the truth of God. Also look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible characterizes itself as the very voice of God. Notice verse 16. He says this. All Scripture, Paul says, is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be perfect, equipped for every good work. Now, as you look at that, God, that question is, did God speak to us? Yes. God has spoken to us. He's spoken to us through His Word. That's the answer to that question. But you look at that, and you think, okay, this is the Word of God. He's given it to us. Alright? Now, there's a contradiction there. This book, these words say that what? Salvation is in Christ and only in Christ. The world says there are many roads to heaven. Jesus says there's one road. Now, there's a contradiction there. Only one of those can be right. The other must be wrong. Either there are many roads to heaven, and the Bible is wrong, or there's just one road to heaven. See the point? I want to tell you something. One of those has to be right. One of those has to be right. Many roads? Now, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach there are many churches. The Bible does not teach that there are many ways to become a Christian. Just be sincere. Not in there. By the way, this isn't something trivial. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a matter of eternity. This is a matter of your salvation. You're hearing the gospel of your salvation. This isn't about flavors of ice cream. This is serious business. The Bible got it wrong, though, and thought, well, if there are many roads to heaven, and really the Bible's wrong, if the Bible can't get it right on matters of salvation, where else did the Bible slip up? You know what? Really and truly, if you sat down with somebody and an issue's brought up, you're talking to somebody about anything. Anything you want to talk about when it comes to salvation, when it comes to what the Bible says, what they think, all the roads that lead to heaven. And you're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden it dawns on them, hey, wait a minute, I don't like what you're saying. And really and truly, you've got to make me change. Hey, if I do that, if I use those words, I'm going to have to change what I believe all my life. And that makes you uncomfortable. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go where all roads lead to heaven because I don't want to do that. See the point?
when we see something in the Bible that we don't like or disagree with, and we reject it, and we refuse to obey it, what's that mean? That means this thing's useless. What good is it? If it tells you to do something, you reject that and go with whatever you want to go with, what good is the book? What good is God's word? And really, what that means? Christianity must be wrong. Because that's what this book produces. That's the system of religion that this book produces. Christianity and only Christianity. Did the Bible miss that? Did we get that wrong? Anybody ever notice in the scriptures the high price of being Christian? What it costs to be a Christian?
Acts chapter 17. Paul, again, at one time was a Jew. And he converted to the way. He became a Christian. I want you to notice verse 1 of Acts chapter 17. He's at Thessalonica. They traveled there. They came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them. He was there for 3 Sabbaths. Reasoned with them from Scripture. They're 3 weeks explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had suffered, rose again from the dead, and said, this Jesus, who I am proclaiming to you, he says, is the Christ. Now, wait a minute, Paul. So what are you doing there? That's wrong. Don't be doing that. Don't be telling people that their religion is wrong. Don't you be telling people that what their religion is, that's a mistake. That'd be intolerant. Now, what happened there? In verse 4, what happened? It says, some were what? Some were persuaded. Some accepted what Paul was saying. So look at verse 5. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. Wow. And it goes on to describe there the persecution that was unleashed to Christians as a result of what? As a result of false teaching. All that persecution, all of that. So if there are many roads to heaven, if there's a bunch of roads to heaven, the last thing that any of us ought to be doing is thinking about getting somebody off the road they're on and putting them on our road. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to do that? There are lots of religions in the New Testament. The book of Acts is full of very real attempts by Christians to get them out of those religions and get them in the religion of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they were persecuted. And because of that, they were killed for doing that. Now, folks, if that's a lie, if what they taught was false, they had to be fooled for teaching. Maybe they deserved to be persecuted. But they suffered and died for what? A mistake? An untruth? And you think about something like that, if there are many roads to heaven, I'm going to tell you something, God must not be a very loving God. If there's a bunch of roads to heaven, God, if you look at this, he'd be horribly cruel. Why would God want his people to suffer and die for something that wasn't true? Think about that. 1 John 4:8 tells us of the true character really of God. Notice what he says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He says this. For God, he says, the one who does not love does not what? Know God. Why? God, he says, is love. Really? I'll tell you what, that's not very loving of God to send your devoted followers to die for a lie. Romans chapter 5. How about Romans chapter 5? Sort of crystallizes here. Verse 8. Paul writes, but God, the Father, demonstrates what? His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know the reason Jesus came to this world? He came to this world not because for us, for him to be intolerant, not for him to be hateful. Jesus came because all other religions, all of them, fell way short of what needed to be done. All other religions could not bring man, could not bring you and I in harmony with God. They could not do it. While we were what? Still sinners. What does God do because he loved us? Sent Christ. Sent Jesus to die for us. Christianity
is the only religion that does that. Christianity is the only religion that does that. Christianity is the only religion that talks about God forgiving our sins. What's that about? Folks, we're sinners. We are sinners. What now? What will God do with us now? Now that we have been found sinners. Now that we defy God. We breathe His air. We walk on this earth. Everything that God gives us. But yet, we defy Him. And yet, refuse to obey His word. What's He going to do with us? I think most people suppose that God's just going to go, it's okay. No biggie. I think most people think that. What would you think of a judge in a courtroom and a criminal stands before him and he waves his hand? I said, okay. Okay. Would he be a just judge? Would that be right? That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be right. How can God be whole? How can God be just? How can God be fair? Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. For all have sinned. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, He says. Now, that's what Christianity is about. We're all sinners. We all know that we're sinners. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. Verse 24. 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. Through the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Jesus came to pay the price for our sins. Jesus did that. He bears the punishment due us. God just doesn't say, it's okay. Believe what you want to believe. Do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. It's all right. You just be sincere. Hey, go ahead. What do you think about that? Really? Really? You know, let me ask you this. If God could have done it, what He did to Jesus in some other way, why did God send His Son to die? Really thought about that? Why did God send His Son to die? Why did God do that to Jesus? Let's say that there's a military objective out there. It's a place that we got to take. Randall knows what that means. And we say we send in the field team, we send in the Green Berets. It's going to have to happen. We send men in on foot. We've got to do this. We've got to take this place. And we do it. And they come out, and the guy that's the head of all the team, when they come back, he says, man, I really appreciate what y'all did. Put the objective. Everything's good. You know, I got to think about when you guys were in there, getting shot and shooting, that, hey, we got a ship out there. We could have just bombed them all to pieces. Maybe got one of drones and just pushed the place. But anyway, we're glad you're back. What do you think about that? How do you think the men would react to that kind of reason? Why didn't you do it some other way? We risked our lives. We went in there and did that. Why'd you do that? You ever ask that about God? Why hasn't anybody ever asked that about God? There are all these different roads to lead to heaven. Why did God choose to send His only begotten Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary? Wouldn't there have been another way? Could there have been another way? Why would God do that to Jesus? It's easy to say all roads lead to heaven. But I tell you what, if you work through that, you think about the consequences of that, you look at that, terrible. It's utterly terrible. And really, that thinking, it does destroy the Bible. It destroys Christianity. And I'll tell you what, thinking about the big picture, it makes God into a horrible monster. This morning, the Bible doesn't teach there's a lot of roads to heaven. It just does not. The Bible teaches there's one way to heaven.
And only through Jesus Christ is that way possible. Please get the song book up. What do we say when we hear that common line? Just think about it. All roads lead to heaven. We're all going to the same place. What do you say? Did Jesus ever say that? Where in the Bible does it say that? Can you show me? What, if that's true, I want to know why Jesus didn't tell me. Everybody else tell me. Jesus never told me that. And I get the second question I would ask is, how do you know that's true? We say that, but how do you know that's true? Is it true? Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected on the third day, spent some time with his disciples and his apostles on this side of the cross, the side of the cross we're on. What do we do now? What do we do now, Jesus? Jesus says, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. Mark 16 and 15. You preach this. He that believes and accepts me in their heart shall be saved. He that believes and says a prayer to come into my heart shall be saved. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus did not say that. The apostles did not preach that. Ever. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. On the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people looked up and said, what must we do to be saved? They believed Jesus. Peter looked at them and said, go home, you already believe, you're saved. He didn't say that. He said, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. But Paul talked to Ananias, and he looked at him and he said, what are you waiting on? Paul believed Jesus the Christ. He was blinded by him on the road to Damascus. Paul believed Jesus. He said, oh, you believe, just head on out. He said, what are you waiting on? You get up and you be baptized and you wash away your sins. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Lots of ways to heaven. There's lots of people preaching a lot of things this morning that are alive. That are alive. Don't believe it. One way. The way. The only way. The Lord's way. Who that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Please come. That's together we stand and sing the invitation.